Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I cannot announce the official number yet, but I do want to give a shout out to the Nashville Predators and our radio station 102.5 The Game that they raised a bunch of money yesterday for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Middle Tennessee celebrating 615 Day. I want to thank all of our hourly sponsors that were out there that were helping us raise all this money yesterday when we were out at the Ford Eye Center. Happy to have played a little role in that. And as I said yesterday, second time in my life that I have kind of felt compelled to bet, to bid on something, bid on it and won. So I won
something yesterday. Well, congratulations.
I'm not going to tell people what it was.
Okay.
But I won something. I was stunned. I was stunned at the price I paid for what I won. I mean, it was one of those ones that's like,
Low or high?
Low.
Oh.
It was like, I'll throw some shekels.
Well, I'm happy you got a deal.
Oh, it was one of those.
It all goes to a good cause.
Oh, it was a great cause. 100% of the Boys and Girls Club. But I literally was just like, yeah, I'll throw some shekels.
Why not?
Like, thinking that, you know, and I've done this before. There were a couple things. You know, I'm part of that Preds auction thing. So every game for the Preds Foundation, I would get one of those things to look at. Mm-hmm. And you should sign up for this if you can, because it's not, you don't pay anything to sign up for it. It's free. But, I mean, every game they had something, and I'd look at it and be like, oh, you know, maybe I'll get this. And every time I'd get outbid. You know, there was something good, and I'd get outbid. And then this, I was like, oh, you know, I kind of like this. All right, fine, I'll click. And then I figured, you know, immediately,
it's a cool thing.
I'm gonna get outbid. You know, I didn't get outbid. I got a text message. I was walking around the neighborhood yesterday. I got a text message. You won? I'm like, I'll take it. But, again, I can't give out the full number because it hasn't been totally tallied up yet. But money, any money raised, even if it's a $5 donation to the Boys and Girls Club, is something big. But I just want to thank the radio station for allowing us to be a part of it. It's time now for Headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman and Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
So, I don't know what about basketball in the NBA, but today everything just decided to just blow up into flames. So, a bunch of things have happened, a ton of breaking news in the NBA today, so I'll break it down for you. First of all, NBA insider Shams Charania reported that Suns point guard Chris Paul is out indefinitely after he entered COVID-19 health and safety protocols. I mean, CP single-handedly secured the Suns the Western Conference Finals. He had a 37-point game in Game 4 against the Nuggets, so that is going to be a huge loss for the Suns entering the Western Conference Finals. And I had a little bit of, like, kind of scary deja vu hearing that he was entering COVID-19 protocols, because this is the first athlete that I've heard of in a long time to have COVID-19 restrictions placed upon them.
Now, isn't Kawhi hurt too?
Kawhi is hurt. So per ESPN's Ramona Shelburne and Brian Windhorst, Kawhi is also out for Game 5 against the Jazz with a right knee injury. He may be out for longer than Game 5, but for sure, Game 5 tonight. He tweaked it on a late drive in the game last night. I saw him land, and it was one of those things he just kind of wins. Like, ooh. Like it
passed my bedtime for that game last night.
Yeah. I saw the highlights. I caught the highlights. The way he landed, it was just, it didn't look, you know, season career ending, but it definitely looked uncomfortable. So PG and Kawhi, two postseason, like, huge marquee names,
sure,
are out.
So those two are out.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul's out.
Chris Paul and Kawhi are both out.
Right. Donovan Mitchell has been hurt. I mean,
yes.
This is like in the Western Conference, this is James Harden and Kyrie Irving are hurt, mm-hmm, with Brooklyn. Let me say this. This is just my overall NBA take. And I know there are a bunch of coaches fired and whatnot, but this is my NBA take today. I mean, I've sat here and wanted parody for years. I hate the super teams. Mm-hmm. I want the parody. I want fun. I want good basketball. I don't want 197 to 196. And we're getting a lot of that right now in the mm-hmm playoffs. And I'm still kind of like, yawn. You know, but I watched last night's game. Now, I've gotten back into a habit I used to have, which is take the first three quarters off. Forget about the first three quarters. I saw
That's
Twitter
fair.
Just ripping the Nets apart yesterday. And I took Brooklyn and Carolines. I mean, I took Milwaukee and mm-hmm Carolines. So I was like, oh, here you go. You know, here you go. And then I turned it on with 8 minutes to go. And I watched Durant last night. But my bigger thing, and maybe this is because sometimes I get pegged as a glass half empty guy. My bigger thing was that Antetokounmpo, he's supposed to be a huge star. Mm-hmm. Like, he's supposed to be sitting at the breakfast table with KD and LeBron.
Reigning defensive MVP.
Choked.
Yeah.
He choked last night. Middleton drives the lane. This was one of those ones where it was basically going to be whoever gets last shot's probably going to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And Middleton drives the lane and drops the ball off for Antetokounmpo, and he fumbles it and loses it, and Durant picks it up, and the game is over. Now, not to take anything away from what Durant did last night, but Giannis Antetokounmpo, are you not expecting the ball? You're the Greek freak. So, no bigger issue last night. I watched the game. It was a great ending to the game. KD, Kevin Durant was freaking awesome last night.
He went off.
But my bigger issue was Giannis. And maybe it's because I bet the Bucks last night.
I think it was.
But it was Giannis.
I get
like,
a text
you can't
from Jared.
Make a free throw and you can't get, and you're not looking for the ball. Get your head out of your rear end. It's the NBA. You're playing Brooklyn. This is you win this. You may win the This is going to be the hardest test for the Milwaukee Bucks. And if they win it, they'll probably win the championship. And Antetokounmpo isn't looking for the ball. Just freaking great.
I get a text from Jared last night, and I wasn't watching the games last night. I was kind of beep-bopping around. It was busy last night. I was watching the games.
Uh-huh.
I get a text from Jared that says, Giannis, what a bum.
Bum.
And I was like, yes! Victory for the Nets. I picked them
bum.
In Caroline.
KD was awesome.
KD was awesome last night. But a ton of other NBA news. So Stan Van Gundy, former now head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans, fired after just one season with the team. They finished with a 31-41 record this past year. So that's a 4-3-1 win percentage, which makes Stan Van Gundy the least winningest coach in Pelicans/Hornets history. And that is saying something.
So I have a theory about Stan Van Gundy. I had Stan Van Gundy sympathy when he got canned by Pat Riley mm-hmm. in Miami, and then they won the title with Dwayne Wade and Shaq. I no longer have Stan Van Gundy sympathy. He is, if his last name wasn't Van Gundy, we would look at him like the Freddie Kitchens of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is just not there. Like, yeah. He is just not in that zip code. And I have no idea what's going on in New Orleans, because who cares about the New Orleans Pelicans? But it's like every week Stan Van Gundy gets fired. So enough Stan Van Gundy. Go back to TV. Goodbye, Stan.
But this is my take on it. Okay, like, you should not be losing 41 games with Zion Williamson on your roster. However, is it fair to fire him after 1 year, especially when that year is COVID?
They fired Freddie Kitchens in a non-COVID year, but they fired him after 1 year, and it was fair to fire Freddie Kitchens.
Especially COVID.
I'm with you. Did Zion get hurt this year?
Zion is always hurt.
So I don't know how much I look at. I mean, again, a new coach is not fixing. The NBA is not about coaching. Everybody needs to understand this. The NBA has nothing to do with coaching. Steve Nash has never coached a day in his life. You think he coached Kevin Durant to pull up yesterday that three-pointer with Middleton right in his face where he had to kind of wheel around, just kind of put it up there? The NBA, there is even what Phil Jackson did. And Phil Jackson was smart because Phil's only like, I'm only coaching Michael and I'm only coaching Kobe. And I'm not coaching anybody else. And yet Phil Jackson, like we all watched The Last Dance,
right.
All the behind-the-scenes drama. That's what Phil Jackson was there for. Screw the triangle offense. Doesn't matter. 5-on-5, got Michael Jordan. You know, who cares what offense you run? He scored a bunch of points under Doug Collins. Michael did what Michael wanted to do. None of the times. When we heard about Michael Jordan talking about, yeah, I was mad because they did this and I was motivated to play well, so I figured if we ran the triangle offense and I dropped it off to Luke Longley and then came back, he never talked about that.
Because
it's not important. It doesn't matter. But when Dennis Rodman wants to go to Las Vegas, there's Phil Jackson, who's the one who's got to broker the deal in order to get Dennis to do it and not lose the season while they're doing it. When Scottie Pippen wants to check himself out of a playoff game, there's Phil Jackson to be like, okay, this is what I got to manage. So coaching in the NBA is the biggest load of crap in all of sports. And this is why these coaches probably know it too, honestly. They probably know, like, look, I'm going to catch all the heat when we lose.
Mm-hmm.
I play a very small role in any of this. It's not like those players went to Brooklyn to go play for Steve Nash. Like, they just go where they want to go. it's not like LeBron went to Miami to play with Eric Spoelstra. So my job is to just, you know, do whatever, you know, kind of massage the players and make sure everybody's okay. It's babysitting. And that's why, like, the Orlando Magic.
Load managing.
Well, that's why the Orlando Magic run through a new coach every 3 years. Because
they're just not good.
They never have any good players. So, and, you know, that's, again, the coaching in the NBA, the coaches do nothing. So you can tell me, I know Scott Brooks got fired today.
Mm-hmm.
Who else got fired?
Donnie Nelson, president of basketball operations and GM of Dallas Mavericks.
I thought that guy was gone.
After 24 years.
I forgot about him.
He's out.
He's out. And again, I mean, what's he supposed to do? Go get another Luka?
Well, this is like, he brought Luka and Dirk Nowitzki. He was driving the car on getting Dirk Nowitzki and Luka Doncic, and he lost his job. But I thought it was so funny the way that ESPN.com phrased this. Tim McMahon wrote this article. It says, this firing comes after an internal friction due to the increasing decision-making influence of Mavericks director of quantitative research. Friction. Internal friction.
What? Okay. All right. You know what? Donnie Nelson's like me. He doesn't need the analytic people telling him.
Yeah.
You know, we need to give Luka the ball and shoot more threes. Okay, I got
you. That sounds like a wonderful idea. We should give Luka the ball.
What's next?
So, we talked yesterday about some kind of new budding broadcasters, maybe some movement from ESPN to Fox to CBS, whatever it may be. We said that Alex Smith has an audition with ESPN, with Fox Sports, to do Monday Night Football or just football in general. RG3 had an audition with ESPN and now Fox, offering big roles if he decides to retire from playing. And now, I don't think that this is a decision that RG3 is going to take lightly. I don't think it'll be a money decision, but I think I would take it if I were him. Also, Fox has extended an offer to Mark Sanchez to be a game analyst.
So, you forget about Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez is average.
But fumbler.
He's an average analyst, and I say average in a nice way.
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with average.
I have no idea if RG3 is a good analyst or a bad analyst, because I've never seen him call a game. So right. I wouldn't know. I wasn't part of this audition process. If you knock their socks off in the audition, take the job.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're never going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, and your lifespan for your career, you'll make more money as a backup in the NFL than you would as like the number three guy at CBS, which I think is the job. That 3/4, if it's an East Coast 3, it's usually Gumbel and Gannon. Mm-hmm. If it's a West Coast, it's probably Harlan and Trent Green. So it's probably that spot that CBS is going to offer
it is
RG3.
ESPN and Fox. CBS has not entered the conversation, but not to say that he's
eliminated from it. I wouldn't be surprised
to
see CBS get in there.
Right.
If I, again, and I don't know if this is a studio job or if this is a game job for RG3.
Just says game analyst. I would assume that's a studio.
No, I would game analyst. I think that's color.
You think?
I do. And I would just tell RG, if RG3 is really that good, take the job. Because once you have the job, then you got to lose the job. Whereas you had a great audition in 2021, you come back in 2023, all the jobs are filled, or they've got a new guy they like, or your audition really isn't that good anymore. I mean, this could be, if RG3 is that good, if you really wowed him, this could be a 20-year career for RG3 doing this. So I would say do it. That's just my two cents.
I would say go ahead and do it because I'm with you. Where RG3 was in the NFL is his ceiling.
Sure.
You know, he's not going to...
He's Lamar Jackson's backup.
He is not somehow just going to bud into all of a sudden a Super Bowl MVP quarterback. So go ahead and take it. And my biggest thing is advocating for athletes post-sport. So NFL, not for long, and if you are set up with a good amount of money for several years in the future, go ahead and do that.
Those are headlines with Caroline. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So I'm against 12 teams in the college football playoff. I think it should be 8, and I think the fact that nobody's pushing back on it is kind of obnoxious. But coming up next, I was asked a question this morning when I went on, I did a morning hit in Louisville, which I do once a week, and I was kind of, they didn't like the fact that I'm against the 12-team playoff. We'll get to that coming up next. And why I cannot believe myself and what I heard for the reason for the 12-team playoff, even though they may be right, Not right in terms of being right, right as in why they may have done this. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, we're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN.
Paul's absolutely right. There are people in that room who think it can happen before the contract expires, and there are also people in the room who are highly doubtful of that and need to be shown some evidence that it's possible. When they go in that meeting on Thursday and Friday to discuss this in person for the first time, I would be surprised if they walk out not agreeing on 12, but that being said, there are a lot of details that they have to hash out. Do they all agree on the fact that the first four seeds will not have a home game? Do they agree that those first round games will be at home for on-campus sites for the other ones and how the bowls work in? Major questions. But once they agree on that, they have to convince the university presidents next week in Dallas.
There you go. That was Heather Dinich here on ESPN saying that they haven't decided when they're going to have all that ready, and they're not sure, and they don't know. And here we are, and we still feel pretty confident it's going to be 12, right?
That's all we've heard. In the beginning, we heard that there was going to be a discussion about possibly 8, 12, 16, 24, whatever it may be.
But now it seems like it's going to be 12.
But we've only heard 12 since then. So, yes.
So you hated this last week when it was 12.
I still hate it.
Okay, good. I still hate it too. Apparently, we're the only two people in the world that hated it then that still hate it now. Trevor even couched it a little bit yesterday. When Trevor, who hated 12 last week, said, well, I like 12 better than 4. I didn't ask you if you like 12 better than 4. I asked you if you liked it. That's not the same. But anywho, I was on the morning show in Louisville, and they saw the clip where I lost my mind last week about Cincinnati and Indiana. And they asked me, why do I hate the 12-team playoff so much? And I hate the 12-team playoff because it's not college football. You know, you want to play 64, that's basketball. That is not college football. You want to play a home playoff games, that's not college football. Now, I know everybody will say, well, you got to change with the times, and you got to adapt, you got to whatever. But then they brought up this idea. And I wish I had thought about it when they asked me. But they brought up this idea. Remember how everybody is anti-participation trophy?
Mm-hmm.
Like the James Harrison a couple years ago, Steeler linebacker, who, you know, put up on Twitter, I'm taking these participation trophies back because my kids don't need participation trophies. You only get trophies when you get something. Here was the argument. Drew Diener, the host in Louisville, I used to work with, and they had me on every week. Here's what his argument to me was. When I told him that I hate the 12-team playoff because I don't think this is college football, here's what he said. Listen to what he said.
Let me stop right there because let me take you back to the year here when Louisville, when you were here and they were, you know, in the hunt for a 4-team playoff. Think of all the conversation that generated here that it's never happened before. Now you've got a 12-team playoff. You can have 20 markets like Louisville. Was that year where they're going to be, you know, invested in college football more than they ever have been in parts of the country that, you know, may not be big college football areas. That what's wrong with having more parts of the country interested and in play for a playoff spot?
And I, one, think that the people that already don't care about college football aren't going to start caring. Like Boston, and I listen to Boston talk radio every day. They are not going to stop talking about the Patriots in the middle of November because Boston College might have a shot at the playoff. They're never going to care about it in New York. They're never going to care about it in big metropolitan cities. The second thing is, isn't that kind of participation trophy-ish? Like, we know we can't compete with Alabama, but because we've got 12, let's talk. Hey, it's good, right? Yay, yeah, yes. And I'm like,
no.
That feels very participation trophy-ish. Whereas before, like making the college football playoff is a big deal. Oklahoma has made it like 5 times. They've never won the first game. They've always gotten knocked out. And yet, like I think it's a big accomplishment for Lincoln Riley that he keeps making the college football playoff. If it's 12 teams, we're going to forget about who made it last year by the time we get to the NFL playoffs. Much less the college football playoff the next year. I mean, so I hear the argument, and I get it from a business standpoint of, hey, Louisville as a football program, outside of 1 year when Lamar Jackson went to Clemson and lost, but outside of that 1 year, never would have ever had a shot at the college football playoff. So now they at least get a shot. But what's that mean? And there are 2 years, and I use Louisville as the example here because A, I know it the best, and B, because that's the market that we're talking about. there were 2 years where Louisville had a legitimate shot to either make the playoff or make the national title game. Mm-hmm. 2006, they lost at Rutgers. Rutgers was really good with Greg Schiano that year. West Virginia, Rutgers, Louisville, they were all good in the Big East. And it ended up being Rutgers ended up beating Louisville, knocked them out of the national title picture. Okay, that team could have beaten Ohio State and won the national title. But that was one team. Bobby Petrino goes to the Falcons. Everything becomes a mess for everybody involved. Then there was the Lamar Jackson year. Remember that great game, Lamar Jackson and Louisville versus Deshaun Watson and Clemson, and it was a Death Valley Saturday night showdown, and Louisville lost both of those games. Guess what? If you make it to the playoff, that's who you play. And you lose. So it doesn't really make much of a difference. But hey, at least you get to talk about it on the radio there. Like, to me, that's not college football.
And to me, like, I see their argument, but if you only care about your college football team when they're in the playoffs, then you don't actually care about college football. You're not actually a college football fan. I will use LSU, for example, because that's the what I know best. It's more fun when your team's in the playoffs. I get it. It's more fun when your team is in the national conversation. But you know why it's really fun? Because you went through those years where they weren't that great. And I can guarantee you that there will be nearly 103,000 seats, butts in those seats in Tiger Stadium, even after LSU was garbage fire last year, because people care about LSU football. They'll care about it when they're bad. They'll care about it when they're good. A lot of other programs are the same way. University of Tennessee, there's going to be butts in those seats because people care about the balls.
There'll be less butts, though.
But there will still be butts.
But there'll be less butts. I mean, I hear but what
that,
you're saying.
Everybody supports the argument that, oh, but maybe people will start caring about my team make it to the playoffs.
Well, I'll give you an example. It's the Predators.
That's pathetic. I'm sorry.
Like with the Predators. If, you know, the NHL didn't let in all the teams in the league that don't absolutely suck mm-hmm. into the playoffs, the Predators aren't going to make it this year. Right? Like, we know that. Like, they wouldn't have made it.
Mm-hmm.
They made it.
It was
and
fun.
And people had a good time.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's the NHL. That's why I looked at it. Again, if you make the playoff in college football, your coach should be celebrated. I want to fire the general manager of the Predators, even though they made the playoffs this past year. We just talked about all these NBA coaches that made the playoffs and got fired. You get fired when you're not good enough, and now we want it to be like that in college football? So I'm sorry. Again, the idea to me of, well, you know, it'll be more exciting to have more teams in the playoff. I don't know. Basketball went from 65 to 68. I'm not sure it's all that more exciting. Seems kind of similar. Fitz will join us next. What does he think about all of this? Or has he backtracked? Because I do feel like there's perhaps a mandate at your former employer, Caroline, about loving this new 12-team playoff. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. You know I love those guys. Summer weather is here, and this is the time of year when your AC system it will be working overtime. If your unit is nearing the end of its lifespan or starting to have trouble keeping your home cool, now is the time to replace it. Hiller is offering special financing on HVAC systems this summer. Get a new system installed and pay zero interest for 60 months. Don't wait until you're uncomfortable. Go ahead and ensure you're ready for peak temperatures. Visit happyhiller.com for all of the details. As always, happy you'll be or the service is free. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the National Predators and the Tennessee Volunteers. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today. Spillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. Let's give away some Jimmy Buffett tickets this segment. So be listening for your chance to win those. We will get to your texts on the college football playoff. And again, last week when we first heard 12, there were a lot of people that were totally against it. And now they're kind of for it. And I just can't live my life like that. Now, I'm somebody who, when you hear evidence or you hear somebody else's point, you can hear their point and say, okay, all right, I see, it makes a little sense. And when Jamie Chatwell said at Coastal Carolina, hey, I can look my guys in the face and say to recruits, you guys, if you play your butts off, you'll have a chance to win the title. Fine. Now, Jamie Chatwell will leave Coastal Carolina at some point, and somebody else will be coaching those guys, but that's okay. But I still hate a 12-team playoff. This is not college basketball. It's college football. I hate home playoff games in college football. This is not college baseball. Jason Fitz joins us now, ESPN Radio, presented by Blood Assurance. Give blood, give local, save lives. Fitzy, your thoughts on a 12-team college football playoff. Do you hate it? Do you like it? How did you feel last week when it was announced? How do you feel now?
Well, I don't know why you hate nice things, Stillman. I don't have a problem with it. Like, I think they did a good job of trying to find a happy medium. The one thing I didn't want to do was see college football expand enough to just start a conversation about the next expansion. So I think 12 does a nice job of solidifying that. And I think that the way they valued conference championships also was an interesting twist. And frankly, the fact that they've given at least group of five hope that they can come in and get their opportunity to shine, I think there's a lot of good from it. Frankly, I think it'll take several years. We're going to see blowouts the first few years, but over time, does it spread recruiting out a little bit? Maybe. And that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to me.
See, everything you just said can be accomplished with eight, and can be accomplished with eight more meaningfully than it does with 12. I mean, I'm sorry, but this idea of, hey, you know what? There's more teams in it. Way to go. The little guy could get in an eight. The conference champions, five automatic qualifiers if there's eight. And nobody's pushing back saying, doesn't 12 water it down a little bit? Because I think the SEC is the reason it's 12. I think everybody else would have been fine with eight, and the SEC said, no, we want 12. Because the SEC wants three teams in it. And I think it's ridiculous.
I mean, I would challenge your mindset on just the SEC. I think the Big Ten's probably looking at it thinking, hey, we got a shot. We can get three teams in this thing. Like, look, the committee's going to value differently. And so I've seen a lot of the articles that have been popped up of what would a 12-team playoff have looked like every year for the last several years. The fail in that is that it doesn't really acknowledge what the committee's going to go through in deciding 12. Like, when I sat through the mock committee process, the amount of argument that happened over who was going to make – you know, New Year's six bowl games because they understood the importance to the programs and the money behind it. So I think the committee at 12 is going to look at really what team is out there that deserves a shot. Are we going to see a real shot at a three-loss champion? Probably. Like, I mean, that's just real in the new structure. But does that make it meaningless? Not to me. I mean, I don't have a problem with playoff expansion because, frankly, I didn't have a problem with playoff expansion in the NFL. Like, they added a team, and I thought, heck, that gives more fan bases an opportunity to watch and have something to love. Like, I don't care if all 12 teams come from the SEC. I just want to see the best possible scenario, and I realize all 12 can't come from there, but you get my point. I want to see the best possible scenario to get the most teams that are deserving in the playoff. That's all I care about. Frankly, I wouldn't have cared if they gave absolutely no pretense to how they were picking each of those 12 teams.
So then why don't we just get 30 teams in there?
Well, I mean, realistically,
the more the merrier, baby.
I mean, I think 30 is probably logistically a nightmare, but you want to tell me, like, if, and I realize the first round games will be a home game, but there will be additional playoff games that will be at neutral sites, right? Like, do you want to tell me that the Music City Bowl wouldn't kill to be an opportunity to be part of the playoff instead of just a bowl game? Like, I think it will give us some more meaning to some of the bowl games that are now completely meaningless anyway, just by byproduct of what's happened already. So I have no problem with that. And, you know, realistically, every year we flock to watch 16-1 and 15-2 in the men's college basketball tournament, even though 99% of the time they're blowouts, because we want that amount of content. Like, we want the opportunity to watch more. Why do we not want to watch more? If I have an opportunity to watch a college football game, it's a meaningless bowl game nobody cares about, or I can make it a first-round playoff game I'm watching, I'm going to watch a first-round playoff game.
But it is meaningless, because if Cincinnati plays Indiana and the winner plays Alabama, it is meaningless. Like, I know that you will tell me that, hey, they could beat Alabama, but they're not going to, and they're never going to. And this is exactly why, I mean, I hear the idea of, hey, we like it in basketball. That's basketball. College football was the one sport. Fitz, how many college basketball games are you going to watch in November and December this year? None. Because there's so much more important stuff going on. In college football, in September, a big LSU-Florida game carries legitimate weight and huge SEC ramifications, and it just doesn't anymore because the regular season becomes meaningless when you expand it so that, hey, anybody with a three-loss team, you're in. And I'm fine with that in the NBA, and I'm fine with that in the NHL. And I'm fine with that in some of these other sports. But, like, Major League Baseball wants to expand, and they probably will. And I'm against it, because Major League Baseball is made up over 162 games. And if you can't figure out who the five best teams in each league are over 162, and then you get to play a 163, then, I mean, seriously, really? And that's how I feel about this with college football, which is, was it always fair in college football? No, it wasn't always fair. But at the end of the day, at least the values of what college football was based upon how you perform the entire year no longer matters anymore.
Well, it's a shift in what's valued, right? Like, so I would argue that, first of all, these big non-conference games will become huge opportunities to get a massive resume kick and also seeding opportunities because people are going to care about getting that first round bye for conference champions. So I think there's still some value to that in the process. And then the other part of it is, what are you trying to crown? Like, I will give you that I think the one thing that's changed massively is the conversation around what matters to college football, because in the past it's always been, we want the best team to win the national championship. Well, in every other sport, I mean, we love the fact that it's charmed, to your point, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, that frankly a hot goalie can take any team, even the second to worst team in the playoffs, all the way to the Stanley Cup final, right? Like, we understand that. We appreciate the fact that the NFL isn't rooting for the Patriots to go undefeated. They're rooting for the Giants to pull off the upset in the Super Bowl because they want unpredictability. Like, there are very few sports that don't try and get that. The NBA is one that, frankly, gets killed constantly for being too predictable. College football is in the same cycle. Like, at some point, you at least got to break it up to have some other conversation, because I don't think Herbie was wrong when he said, you know, months ago that we know three of the four college football playoff teams for the next several years. That's not good for the sport long term. I mean, if you're trying to get people interested in your sport everywhere, casual fans and diehard fans, having a completely predictable outcome doesn't really handle that. So, you know, is there more draw? Like, will somebody from the Pac-12 care more about a USC game because they realize that there's a playoff spot on the line? I think so. I think that even though it may water it down to you as a diehard college football fanatic, when you start to look at the casual fan, knowing that there's a playoff spot on the line for a UCLA-USC game that usually doesn't matter that late in the year for two teams that may or may not be good, now there's a playoff spot on the line, you're going to see more people paying attention to that game.
So, but if that were true, then more people would care about, like, the NHL playoffs over the course of the, you know, when those happen. And, like, I love, like, when my team's in, I'm all in. But I just don't think Fitz, Jason Fitz, our guest, presented by Blood Assurance, give blood, give local, save lives. I just don't think that people are going to care. Like, I hear what you're saying, you know, hey, if there's a playoff spot, and I do think that it'll mean more for the conference championship games. That will give it a little boost. But I just don't think, like, I'm telling you, me right now, if it's like Washington plays Oregon and the winner goes to the Pac-12 title game, and so then they would have a shot at making the playoff, I still don't care. I don't care. They're going to get housed by Alabama if they win that first game that they play against nobody's state in a home game, which is not college football, to be playing home playoff games. And I feel like I'm the only person in the world, and Caroline too, who are sitting here saying this is not college football. This is a different sport. The idea of, you know, if a playoff spot's on the line, more people will care. How many people in America care about the New York Islanders right now? Not enough.
But I mean, okay, so let me counter that from an ESPN perspective, because I'm always super real with you about the fourth wall. Like, one of the biggest challenges that I've ever faced in my career was 2 years ago when I was traveling with Game Day, and I realized that I was spending so much time in my life prepping for college football content that never gets used on ESPN radio, because realistically, nationally, college football isn't as big of a conversation. Now, we would talk a little bit on Tuesdays about what the committee was going to do, and on Wednesday mornings what the committee did, but there's very little college football conversation throughout the course of the week because of the way the calendar runs and because people care more about the NFL nationally. So, you know, Michael Jr. and I would laugh at the time about, and still do, about how much work he and I put into the college football season that doesn't get utilized. To your point, maybe you don't care, but do you think realistically that a playoff matchup on a Friday where we're talking about all of this other stuff that's going on nationally across the board, when we're talking about everything else, you don't think that a possible playoff berth being on the line doesn't make college football a bigger part of the conversation nationally, which is all part of what everybody's trying to accomplish for their sport? Like, the more we're talking about it, the more storylines we can find on it, the more people gravitate to watch it. And to me, that's a simple portion of this, like, that gets the random person that doesn't usually care about you know, a BYU game. Maybe they care about that game if we're sitting there talking about the playoff ramifications that are on the line. So, I'll go back to the casual fan that I think it brings into matchups they wouldn't usually care about. I don't know that you're the audience for expansion. I think right now what college football believes is that the diehards will stay with the sport because the diehards usually do stay with the sport. So now it's about how do we bring everybody else in, and more teams in the playoffs has worked for every sport in doing that.
Has it? I mean, baseball, Jason Fitz is our guest. When baseball had two teams in each league go to the LCS and a best of five, and then later a best of seven, and those two teams would go to the World Series, their ratings were significantly higher in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s than when they expanded than they are today. And they've got more teams. They got that second wild card. They're going to add more teams. And you look at baseball ratings, it is not even close. Look at the NBA. Look at the ratings in the 90s. Look at the Magic and Larry's, the Michaels. Look at it now. It's not the same now.
I'll counter that and say you're looking at 80s and 90s versus where we are today when the landscape is so significantly different. I mean, that's a little like saying that a TV show is not a success because it doesn't pull the same ratings as Friends. That's not real anymore. Like the ratings that were pulled by TV shows in the 80s and 90s, like I'm not sure anyone's ever going to hit what Cheers accomplished or what MASH accomplished on TV, but there was significantly less competition for it. When you look across the board at the numbers now, like the last year, baseball numbers in the playoffs did fairly well. And the year before, they did fairly well from my memory. But I will tell you that NBA numbers, while everybody talks about their TV numbers constantly, NBA digital numbers are through the roof because that's where young NBA fans watch. So, you know, there is some element of, you know, what are you looking for and what are you going to get? I mean, I think playoff expansion has worked simply for the conversation we have. I mean, you cover hockey all the time, right? And that's a sport where it feels like everybody makes the playoffs. But when you look
but
at
you
the
ratings, don't cover hockey
regular
fits.
Season.
See, you don't, what? Though. That's the issue. It's not about, like, we're local markets. So if Vanderbilt or Tennessee or somebody like that is in the mix for this 12-team playoff, we will talk about it. But it's you guys. It's ESPN. You guys are, I like, the idea that, hey, Washington is playing Oregon in a big game that has playoff ramifications, it's not going to get talked more about than the Steelers playing the Cowboys that week on your show. Like you say
it
today,
will.
Hey,
it
might be more interesting, but it's not going to be bigger than the NFL.
You're forgetting where we have our money invested, though. Like from a national standpoint, like ESPN is already talking about hockey more than they have in years because we've now become TV partners with the NHL. Like, think I'm always real with this audience and with you. Like, I never thought I'd have to talk about MMA, but man, once ESPN got in the UFC business, we certainly talk about it, right? So I got to know what's going on for big fights because that's part of the job now. So when we become TV partners, we talk about anything, and we have so much money invested in college football. You bet your butt we're going to make all of that a huge conversation, especially now that we've bought the SEC package. Like, ESPN is going to do nothing but talk about college football as much as possible. So, you know, look no further than College Football Live is a show that I get to host in the fall that only exists because we frankly put money into college football. So yeah, I totally disagree. I think ESPN will spend a ton more time talking about potential playoff matchups. It becomes a first take conversation where usually, you know, Indiana taking on Wisconsin in a game that may not have a ton of meaning isn't going to be a first take conversation. But if the winner of that game is suddenly looking at the opportunity to somehow sneak into the playoffs, boy, we're talking about it then.
Boy, I wish I could bet you, but it's like 5 years until this happens. But I just so vehemently disagree with you. But I still love you, Jason Fitz.
Well, I love you too. But also remember this. I think we'll put the bet out. 5 years from now, you're still going to be watching college football. And that's why, like, you're not the target audience for it. I hear where you're coming from. I just think they're thinking college football is thinking more about a broad set of the audience than necessarily the passionate audience that exists in the South.
Fitzy, love you as always. Presented by Blood Assurance. Give blood, give local, save lives. We'll talk to you next week.
You're the best, my friend.
Yep. All right. I did want to talk about something that had to do with the Titans, but I want to react to Fitz because I vehemently disagree with him, and I see what he's saying. I get what he's saying, but I don't believe it. We'll get to that coming up next. I promise Jimmy Buffett tickets, caller 5 right now, 615-737-1025. You'll see tickets to see Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band at Ascend Amphitheater on Tuesday, July 6th. Good luck to you on that. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025, the game. Stillman & Company, so Fitz just came on the show, and he says an increased number in the college football playoff means more people around the country will care about it and wants to make a five-year bet, or however it is with me, that ESPN will care more about it now that there are 12 teams. I vehemently disagree. There are more teams in hockey. There are more teams in basketball, and hockey gets very little coverage. Even baseball, they're going to expand the playoffs in baseball, this next collective bargaining agreement. You watch. You think First Take will debate? First round series, Blue Jays and Astros, Stephen A. Smith, who you got? And I certainly don't think it's going to happen with college football, who just happens to be playing their playoffs at the single most important time for the NFL. You've worked at ESPN. You now work here. Now, it's odd that I feel like I hear every ESPN employee saying the same things about how great this 12-team playoff is going to be. And by the way, they own it.
Well, yeah. Do you know what the 12-team college football playoff is going to be on?
And that being said, I do. You know, I trust Trevor. I trust Fitz. They come on the show every week. I don't think that there was like a mandate emailed
out. No, not at all. Those are two wonderful people, and there are so many more wonderful people who work at ESPN.
Do you buy that narrative? Because we were just told it on the local level this morning when I went on in Louisville, and Drew Diener said, well, think about how Louisville could make the playoff and how much more fun that would be. And Fitz kind of saying the same thing. Not one person, by the way, has argued that they think that any of those teams will ever be capable of beating Alabama. But again, like, I don't buy this. I think, if anything, it will make more people click off because it's just like, who cares? It's like, think about this. Making the college football playoff is such an accomplishment right now that it's like a hat and a T-shirt and, oh, my God, we made the playoff. Oh, God, this is all our hard work paid off for. Nobody says that when they make the NCAA basketball tournament.
Well, it's because of the scarcity. You know, you look at lobster, for example. Lobster is a glorified cockroach. But there is value placed upon it, so it's expensive, and it makes people think that you're rich if you eat lobster. There is no value to something that isn't scarce.
Sure, if we gave everybody a Lamborghini, if it was like, you know what, how much do you think it costs to make a Lamborghini? Like, the Lamborghini company to build a Lamborghini, how much do you think it costs?
If a Lamborghini, like, to buy costs $100,000, sure. I think that a Lamborghini costs $20,000 to me.
Okay.
That's nice leather. That's a lot of parts.
So basically 5-to-1 return.
Yes.
Okay. What if Lamborghini said, it only costs us $20,000? And again, we're throwing these numbers out. I mean, a Lamborghini could cost you like $225,000, but I don't know. But let's say, again, 5-to-1, and it costs $20,000 for Lamborghini to make it. What if they said, let's sell them for $35,000?
I'd get one.
But then the value of the Lamborghini would be gone.
Because everyone has one.
Right. That's the whole point of a Lamborghini, of a Maserati. When you see it, you're like, oh my God, I guess you're driving a Maserati. Man, nobody says that. Oh, wow, look at that Honda Accord. Nobody says that. And I just feel like if we start...
No offense to Honda Accord drivers out there.
No, but it's not a Lamborghini. If we start letting everybody into the playoff, and we're going to, then it's just kind of like, eh. You know, it's got that feeling to it.
Yeah.
And I don't think that, you know, Fitz was talking about, well, if Indiana is playing Wisconsin and that game has some sort of a college football playoff ramification to it, then that could mean that First Take will break it down. I promise you, Stephen A. Smith is not going to be talking about an Indiana-Wisconsin football game unless that game is the national championship. He's not talking about it.
And I think Fitz made one point that kind of struck a chord with me, and he said, well, how great would it be for the Music City Bowl to be a playoff bowl destination? What about the players who are used to playing in the Sugar Bowl? They don't want to play in the Music City Bowl. And what is stopping these players from saying, hey, look, you know, I'm going to get drafted top 10 next year, and I'm going to make millions and millions of dollars, and I'm going to be able to tell my parents that they can retire. I think I'm going to sit this one out.
I'm out.
And risk an injury against Indiana and the Music City Bowl. No offense, it was a wonderful school, wonderful bowl. What's the point in them playing in it? And so then college football will become college basketball, where people play for 1 year and then say, yo, I'm out. I'm out of here. I'm not risking my future.
I think you're dead on. One of the biggest takeaway or one of the biggest drawbacks of college basketball is the lack of giving a crap from 90% of the players who are in it.
Yeah.
You know, the, and I'm talking
about school,
the good, you know, the good players and the, it's like, oh, we lost in the second round. All right. Signing with Clutch Sports today.
Yep.
Signing with
getting
Rock
my Adidas
Nation.
Deal today.
See ya. And I'm with you. And now football's going to have that regardless. Mm-hmm. That's the trend it's going. But I mean,
it just feels like this expedites the process whenever you start to dilute a very elite product.
And I don't think there's any thought to this other than how can we get the most money from this? I think that at that level, at the top level, it's all right. If we're going to do, I think the theory behind the real decision makers is if we're going to go to eight, we're already screwing with college football enough anyways. Let's just get as much money as we can. That's what I think their plan is, and I don't like it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, though, boy, the NFL is going to make it hard on you if you don't get your vaccine. That's next. Stillman and Company, ESPN 1025, the game. And the Players Association, by the way, is working with the NFL on this. So the idea that the players can stand up for themselves, not so much. That's next. FanDuel Sportsbook app is my official sportsbook app. It is basketball, peak basketball, which means there are games every night for you to bet on my official sportsbook app, the FanDuel Sportsbook app. So many exciting matchups. And new and existing users can bet risk-free throughout the entire playoffs. Get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Plus, once you have an account, you can bet one same-game parlay risk-free every week. So, that's Moneyline. Point spread, first basket score, player point total, you name it, you bet it, boom. And if you don't win, you'll get $10 back. Basketball fans, now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. Just sign up with the promo code JGM to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and older and present in Tennessee, risk-free first bet for first online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Same game parlay refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.